Welcome to the Fulfilling Career Podcast, a show for the professional woman who's ready to work in an aligned career that allows her to thrive in her zone of genius, live on purpose, and get paid a value-aligned salary. Let's dive in. And today we are going to be talking about how to pivot, how to find meaningful work, how to find a more fulfilling career when you have been in one path for over 8 years. So you've been in one job, one company, one industry for 8, 10, 12, 20 years, and you want to pivot, but you're not sure how. I want to talk you through what that process will look like. So the first thing I want to start with is talk about some of the common fears. So I have worked with clients who have been in one space for a really long time. And I've talked to women in my DMs who have been in one space for a really long time. And while there are many things that sort of can be barriers or stand in the way of them, I would say making the pivot, I've noticed three major fears that often serve as barriers. Three major fears that get in the way when women are wanting to pivot or transition after being in one space for a really long time. The first is the fear of making a time costly mistake. The fear of making a time costly mistake. So this is, you've been in one place for so long, right? You've been in one job, one company, one industry for 7 years, for 8 years, for 10 years, for 20 years. And now you're no longer happy, right? It just doesn't feel good anymore. The work doesn't feel really aligned. Something feels off. You can't quite put your finger on it, but your spirit is telling you that it's time for a change. You feel like it's time to do something else, but you're worried. You're worried about the fact that, okay, I've been here for 8 years, however many years you've been there. What if I transition into something else and I hate it for another 8 years? Now I'm going to feel like I've wasted another 8 years of my life, or wasted 16 years of my life if you put it all together, right? Like, what if I move to do something else and it is just as unfulfilling as what I'm doing now? Am I supposed to stay there for another 10 years and be unhappy for another 10 years? Then it will feel like, okay, that pivot that I made was for naught, right? Like, at least I had a job back then, I was getting paid, and now you want me to transition to something else, and then I transition and I hate it, and I left something that was comfortable for nothing. That's really what it can feel like. And so that fear can really keep you in the situation that you're in that you know isn't working for you, right? Like, that fear of making a transition only to hate what you're doing, only to feel like you've wasted time, can really keep you stuck in one place. Attached to this fear also is, so because there's the, when I say time costly mistake, right, it's the fear of I do something else, I hate it, I'm wasting more time. There's also attached to that the fear of feeling like you've wasted all the time that you have spent up until this point in this role, right? Like, so if you've been in one place, company, role, industry for 7, 8, 10, 12, whatever, however many years you've been there, the idea of leaving can feel very much like, wait, if I'm pivoting, does that mean I legit just wasted 10 years of my life? Like, did I just waste 15 years of my life? Did I just waste, you know, 20, 13 years of my life? Like, if I'm gonna move and I leave this company, all that work that I've done, all the social capital I've built in this space, all the skill, all the knowledge I've built in this space, is that all just for nothing? Like, that's what it can feel like. And here's one thing I want to give you for that fear. And this is something I tell women often when they're in this situation. One, you are fallen prey to what we call the sunk cost fallacy. S-U-N-K, cost, C-O-S-T, fallacy. And the sunk cost fallacy posits that a lot of times as human beings, when we're trying to make a decision and think of something else, we tend to focus on the costs that we have spent in the past and forget what is costing us in the present and what we'll be missing out on in the future. So let me translate this to career space. You're thinking, okay, if I pivot, I would have wasted 8 years of my life. I would have wasted 10 years of my life. I would have wasted 12 years of my life. But here's what you're forgetting. Right now, you're staying in this situation that's not fulfilling, meaning that right now, it's costing you joy, it's costing you peace, it's costing you satisfaction, it's costing you confidence. Like, all those things are suffering because you are right now in a place that's not serving you. And by staying even longer, you're missing out in the future on the opportunity to position yourself as an expert. You're missing out on the opportunity to do meaningful work that makes you wake up every day and be like, you know what? I love what I do. You're missing out on the opportunity to feel excited about work, about life. You're missing out on the opportunity to build stronger relationships, to get the access to new opportunities in your field because you have positioned yourself as an expert, right? So those are like things that you're missing out on in the future and things that you're the cost that you're paying right now in the present. And so instead of focusing so much on what you will lose, think about what is costing you now and what you're missing out on in the future. So that I wanted to just offer that to you as a way to reframe that fear. And then the other thing I will say is, this is an analogy I like to use with the women I work with. Okay, so yes, you have been in this field for, however many years you've been there, right? But here's what I want you to think about. Think about your career so far as a mountain that you were climbing, right? So you were going up this mountain, you climbed the mountain, and now you are at the top of the mountain. And you have been standing here looking out at this view, and you're realizing that I don't like this view. I don't like the air up here. I don't like how it smells. I don't like how it feels. I don't like what I see. I want to do something else. And so in your head, this is what I've noticed most women do. Coming down feels like a failure. Right, it feels like if I pivot, I'm giving up. If I pivot, I couldn't hack it. If I pivot, I'm not good enough or I wasn't good enough. But it's like, no. It took a lot of work for you to climb that mountain. All that effort, all the skills you've built, the knowledge you've acquired, the relationships you've built, they don't just disappear, right? You've gotten to the top, but for you to get to your next mountain peak, you have to come down. You have to come down to climb the next mountain. That's just the way life and the journey works. So instead of looking at your come down as a failure, think about it as, no, I did all this work. Coming down doesn't negate all that work. I'm just coming down so I can climb a new mountain and do new work. So I want to offer those two reframes to you, okay? Before I go to the other two fears, I saw some chat. The chat was popping, so hold on. Let me see what was happening here. What's my PhD in counselor education? Nervous about moving away from government position to private sector. Very common fear. I feel like I won't have the job security I had before. Also very common. Excited to do what I'm passionate about, though. Yeah. Okay, thanks for sharing that with me, because I hear that a lot with the government piece. And, my brother-in-law works in government, so I know that, you know, there's great perks. But ultimately, two things that I want to give you ultimately. One, nothing is truly secure. Okay, I know government always feels more secure than private, and in a sense, it's a bit more stable. But in government, they could still fire you tomorrow because they're downsizing, or because they're closing down a department, or because furlough, right? Like maybe furlough turns into being let go of because like we just had a pandemic. My point is, nothing is fully secure, even though yes, government is a tad bit more stable than private. So I'll give you that. But at the same time, this is similar to the sunk cost fallacy that I just talked about. Government is stable, but what are you paying for that stability? What are you paying with your physical health, right? If you're doing work, again, if you're in government and you love the work, that's a whole different conversation. More grease to your elbow, keep going, no problem. But if you are in government, but you don't enjoy the work, you're likely experiencing more work stress, which means your physical health is suffering, your mental health is suffering, your relationships are suffering, your joy, the way you see yourself, is suffering. So yes, you're in a stable situation, but you're paying for it in other ways. Is it worth it? Like, is stability worth your peace, your joy, your satisfaction, your confidence, your excitement, your passion? Like, is it worth the price? If you are, again, this is if you are not doing fulfilling work. That's what I'll offer you, okay? Nailed it, I feel seen. Yes, thank you, Lord. That means the Lord is speaking. True, I did go through a furlough. Yeah, so nothing, and I tell people this all the time. Some industries, some spaces, yeah, are a bit more secure, but let's be honest, nothing in work, nothing is fully ever like 100% secure. You really could get fired tomorrow, the day after, without a heads up. And so I always just think it's important to consider that piece, okay? Two more fears that I know women often struggle with when trying to pivot after multiple years in one place. The second fear is not having transferable skills. So feeling like you don't have transferable skills. I hear this so much with the women I work with, where they'll be like, what if I don't have the skills to do anything else? Like literally, I've only been in customer service for 20 years. I don't know how to do anything else. All I've done is this. I've been, you know, in operations for 13 years. I don't have skills to do anything else. So what am I going to pivot to? Like, I don't want to do operations anymore. It's not the company. It's the company. It's the role. I don't want to do this anymore, but I don't have, like, this is all I've developed my skill set in. And so that fear can really keep you in that situation, really keep you thinking, this is all I can do. This is all, these are the only skills that I have. And we're going to talk about kind of like a remedy for that, but just wanted to let you know that that's a common fear that I often hear women talk about. And the third one is imagining dissatisfaction. So thinking that you are imagining your dissatisfaction in your current situation. So you're in this job, you've been there for years, but you're not happy. And so you want to do something else, but then your brain starts telling you, is it really that bad? Right? Like, am I just thinking the grass is greener on the other side, but you know, it's really not that bad. Like, am I complaining for nothing? Like, you literally start psyching yourself out of what you know that you're feeling, right? You start psyching yourself out of the moments where you were crying in the bathroom, the moments where you have felt really disrespected at work, the moments where you have woken up literally feeling dread in your stomach every day because you're like, I can't believe I have to go and do this work again. The moments where you have felt like, I just want to throw everything away and walk away and just never come back. Like, literally your brain starts telling you, maybe I'm just saying the grass is greener. Maybe it's bad everywhere. Maybe work is just meant to be miserable. And I'm like, sis, can you please stop gaslighting your own self? Like, society is already doing that, okay? Like, we already live in a society that loves to gaslight us as women, especially if you are a Black or Brown woman. Don't do it to yourself. If you are unhappy, if you are feeling dissatisfied, pause and at least reflect and take stock. What am I feeling? Where is it coming from? What is happening here? Because if you feel that way and you're thinking it, chances are it didn't just happen today. What I've noticed is it's been building over years. It's been building and you have just now gotten to the point where your brain now is like, we got to go. Like, we got to do something else. And now here you are gaslighting your own self saying it's really not that bad. I can stick it out. Don't stick it out. Sorry, yeah, I'd be getting hype. Don't stick it out. I mean, like, let me give a caveat. And I like to give this caveat in the work that I do, specifically the way that I work with women. I'm almost always speaking specifically to the women who have the privilege of choice in their career. Because I am very, very aware that not every woman has the privilege of choice. Not every woman can actually choose to leave her job or choose what else they can do. So I want to make that super clear. I always like to do that when I have conversations like this, because then what I say is, if you have the privilege of choice in your career and you're not leveraging it, like you're choosing to stay in a situation that you already know is making you miserable, you are doing yourself and the world a massive disservice. Massive disservice. Okay. So as I say, chats, seriously, stop it, brain, move on. this brain be coming for y'all. Okay. So I wanted to just set the stage by talking about those fears, and y'all are saying you feel seen. I saw some hearts come up. So that means you're sort of in the right place, which is great, so that you understand what your brain might be doing to keep you in a situation that is already making you feel unhappy. And so now let's talk about how exactly you find fulfilling work. How do you make that pivot? And by the way, you know, if you're watching it, because I know I've mentioned, you know, how I work with the women that I work with who have been in this situation. If you've never heard me talk about it, you should definitely check out my signature program, Find Your Fulfilling Career. It's linked in my bio on Instagram. It's in the description below on YouTube. It's in the description if you're listening on the podcast, wherever you're listening. Just, I would say, check it out and see if that sounds like the kind of support you need in your career right now, because this is the kind of pivot I help women make in that program. It's an 8-week program to help you really make that pivot. And so just check it out and schedule a free call and let's chat. Okay. And let's see if this is the right move for you. Love the saying, don't stick it out. Let's tattoo that on our forehead. Don't stick it out. Okay. So how exactly do you pivot? Okay. Let me get into, I'm going to share with you 4 steps, but let me drink this tea because y'all, your girl is hungry. Okay, the first thing you're going to want to do is clarify your non-negotiable values, okay? You're going to want to clarify your non-negotiable values because your values are pretty much your boundaries at work. And when you have been in one space for multiple years, when you have been in one space for so long, the place, the work, the role probably hasn't evolved, even though you have been evolving. Right? Like, so that's the way life works. Who you are today is not who you were 5 years ago, is not who you will be in 5 years. Right? You have been growing and evolving. The things that are important to you, the things that matter to you, have been changing with time. But yet you have stayed in a place doing work that probably hasn't been changing very much the way you have. And what you have to realize is you're in that place that you've been in for 13, 7, 18 years. And there's a high chance that when you first started, you were very excited. You were motivated. You loved what you were doing. It felt good. There's a high chance that that was the case. But as you evolved, the work you were doing did not evolve. And you stayed there because you were comfortable, because you knew when your paycheck was coming, you could pay your bills. You knew how to navigate the people and the relationships. You stayed in that situation. But even though you were in the same place physically, you were changing. You were changing mentally, spiritually, physically, however it may be. And the thing about our values is our values are the very foundation of who we are. Your values are your core beliefs. They are your compass in life. They drive you. They drive your decision making. And almost every time you are in a workplace where you are unhappy, where you feel unseen, you feel unheard, you feel devalued, you don't feel like you're doing meaningful work, you don't feel impactful, you don't feel like you're making a difference. This is me telling you this after working with over 50 women. Almost every time you feel that way, guaranteed your workplace is violating your values. Without fail, almost all the time. The place you are in is violating your values, and they probably have been violating those values for a long time. It was a slow build. And now you just happen to have reached the point where you're like, I can't live like this anymore. I'm not being true to myself anymore. This place has me acting out of character, has me doing things that are not aligned with who I am. And it's so easy for that to happen when you've been somewhere for so long, because the longer you stay, the more difficult it becomes to leave. Because again, remember I talked about the sunk cost fallacy, right? Every day, every month, every year that you spend there is another day, month, year that your brain will try to tell you you're wasting if you try to pivot, if you try to transition. So the longer you stay, the more your values are being violated, the more you're not being true to yourself, and it just makes it harder to leave. So it's so important that you pause. The very first thing you do is clarify your values, what is important to you, and then you can check. You can check with your organization. I don't mean talk with anyone. I'm saying do an audit internally. Okay, if this is what is important to me, how is this thing being supported in this organization that I'm in this industry that I'm in? Or is it being violated every day? Like, are my values constantly and consistently being violated? Because if that's the case, you're never going to be happy there, right? Like, no matter how long you stay, you're never going to be happy there. And so that's the very first thing you have to do, is clarify your values, okay? Before I go to number two, let me check these chats. Harsh truth, I've changed and realized I'm bored after 2 to 3 years. Now I'm working 12 hours and I'm tired. Okay, if you're bored, part two, the next step is gonna address that. Okay, so then the second thing, once you clarify your values, because that's foundation, right? Values is how we know, is this company and is this industry aligned? Okay, that's the first step. S says, I feel very seen, 16 years doing almost the same things with very few changes, although I'm getting paid better, not gonna lie. Okay, thanks for sharing that. Thanks for saying that, because that's a really great point. And I see that's a common point for women who have been somewhere for long, because even though it becomes harder to leave after multiple years, you also do get paid better and it becomes harder to leave that money. But one thing I also know is that at some point, the money stops being worth it. The money stops being worth the violation of things that are important to you. The money stops being worth the way you're feeling disrespected and unseen. But also, and this is what I said this as a fear, but also what's really driving you is the fear that you wouldn't be able to get paid that much somewhere else. And that fear is not based in fact, because you probably also haven't done your research to see if you can get paid that much somewhere else. And so we call it the golden handcuffs, right? Because it looks nice, it's gold, it's shiny, but it's still handcuffs. You're still bound to a situation that isn't serving you. So it's still uncomfortable, but it looks pretty. So thanks for sharing that. The second step, once you clarify your values, second thing you're going to want to do is clarify your interests, specifically your zone of genius interest areas. So one thing that I see happen is, especially for women who have been in one place for so long, is that you lose your passion, you lose your motivation for work. And so you are feeling just very bored and blah at work, like you're going through the motions, you're not being intentional. And then women will come to me and they'll be like, you know what, I just want to find my passion again. I just feel like if I find my passion, I will know what to do next. And I'm like, deep breath, woosah. You're not going to find your passion. You're not going to find your passion because your passion is not a set of keys that you lost. Okay? Passion doesn't just fall from the sky. Passion is the fruit that grows from the seed that are your interests. You need to clarify your interests, because as you spend more time in your interest, learning about it, going deeper into it, then your passion will reveal itself. Passion is revealed when we're actually in action. So if you're feeling bored, if you're feeling unmotivated at work, there's a high chance that yes, you're not passionate about the work, but the way to find work that you will eventually become passionate about is to figure out what interests you now. What are those topics, those ideas, those concepts that when you are engaging in it, you lose track of time. You get so enthralled with the work that it feels good. You like reading about it, watching YouTube videos about it, learning about it. Those things truly hook you. They engage you. When you find those things, then you're going to eventually want to do work in that area, because the more you work in that area, eventually your passion will reveal itself. And so you don't just find passion by staying in a job that you already know you're bored in, and you're spending time journaling, you're trying to reflect, you're trying to figure out why you lost your passion. Sis, you lost your passion because you're not interested in the work that you're doing. That's why you lost your passion. The work is not interesting. How does passion get reignited? Figure out what you're interested in. Do work that you're interested in. Over time, passion will reveal itself. That's just how it works. And so that's why you have to clarify your interests, because you've been doing one thing for so long that you've gotten into this tunnel vision where you have stopped seeing the other things that used to excite you. You have stopped seeing what in your life right now excites you. You have stopped seeing the things that light you up. Like you're going through the motions, the mundane humdrum of work. Every day I walk in, I know what to like. It's like you're on autopilot at this point. You are on hella autopilot at work. And that you can't stay in that situation and think that you will find passion. That's not how it works. And so you have to clarify, okay, if I look at my life as a whole, what interests me, what excites me, and then what kind of work can I do that is aligned with that? Okay, that's step two. The third thing, so you clarify your values, specifically your non-negotiable values. You clarify your interests, specifically your zone of genius interest areas. The third thing, and this is what's really key for you if you've been in one place for so long, is to determine your high power skills. Determine your high power skills. Because when you have been in one place for so long, you probably also have developed a lot of skills over time. Like at this point, you are a Jill of all trades. You can do all the things for all the people because they've been pulling you in all the directions at that job. Like you do all the things. You do operations, you do data, you do customer service, you do mentoring. Like you can do it all. And so now when you are unhappy and you're thinking of pivoting, it's hard because you're like, I have all these skills, but all these skills are in one place with one company. How do I transition? Like, I don't know what else I can do. And so what you really need to do is actually pause and think about, yes, you have all these skills, but which of these skills do you actually enjoy using? Because just because you can do something doesn't mean you actually enjoy it. Like, if you do anything long enough, you will eventually become good at it. Even the things you don't enjoy. That's just the way time and practice works. The longer you do it, the better you get at it. So you might have hated it at the beginning, hated it in the middle, still hate it now, but you've been doing it for so long, you can do it in your sleep. That's just like life just works that way. And so you can't assume that just because I have a skill, then I need to use the skill in my career, because then you'll be out here using skills that make you miserable. So you have to pause and get clear on, okay, yes, I have all these skills, but which of these skills do I enjoy using? And then once you do that, then you start looking at, okay, which of these skills, how are they transferable? Although the transferability will not come in until the next step, the last step I'm going to share with you, but they kind of flow into each other. So that's why I'm talking about it now. But then you start thinking, how will my skills transfer into something else? Because, okay, yes, you've been doing customer service for years, 11 years in one place. But those customer service skills, that's what you might use to figure out how to place orders in retail industry. Those same customer service skills, you probably are going to need to leverage them if you need to inform clients of a information breach in technology. Those customer service skills, you can use those same skills to map out and plan a space if you're doing event planning in hospitality. Same skill, three different industries. Your skills are very transferable. Your skills will go with you to whatever industry that you're in. You don't lose them just because you pivot. But what a lot of women do, what you might be doing, is you're conflating your skills with knowledge. You assume, okay, because I've only ever done this in this one space, this one company, this one industry, this one role, that's the only way I can keep doing it. But it's like, no. While you were in this role for years, you developed a skill and you acquired knowledge in one space. So yes, you learned how to use customer service in retail, and you had to learn about the retail industry and how to, you know, look at, and yeah, I'm not in retail, so I'm making some of this up as I go, roll with it. But you had to know how to look at, you know, trends in customers buying behavior and trends in restocking and figure out what to put on the shelves. Yes, that's the knowledge you acquired, right? The knowledge is retail, stock, shelf, whatever it may be. The skill set is customer behavior, interacting with people, relationship skills. You can take those same skills and go learn about technology and information breach and sending emails and communication, and take your customer service skills, partner it with knowledge from a new space, and do that work in somewhere else. So just because you've been using your skill in one place doesn't mean that's the only place you can do it. No, the skill is yours. The skill will go everywhere. You just need to learn knowledge from a new space and leverage your skill in a new context. Okay? So don't conflate your skills with knowledge, and don't assume that just because you have been doing your skills in one place for years, you can't do it anywhere else. No. Clarify, what skills do I enjoy using? And then when we start doing the last step, we start to think, okay, how do the skills I have transfer into this new industry that I'm considering? And I'll be honest, I'm saying this, it's flowing out of me, but that's because that's what I do. I'm an expert at this, right? Sometimes thinking through how your skills transfer is a skill in itself. And that's why women pay me to help them with their transition, right? Because I can help them see their skills in a new way. I walk them through that process. And so sometimes you just need to invest in a career development professional to help you with that. Obviously, I want it to be me, but find somebody who works for you and invest in them, invest in yourself so that you can figure out how to pivot. Okay, because seeing your skills in a new light and how they apply somewhere else, that's a skill in itself. We're trained to do this. Okay? So once you do that, the last step, the fourth step, is now to start doing your research to find aligned career paths, right? So those first three steps were very focused on you for a reason. The only way you can find fulfilling work, the only way you can find meaningful work, is to clarify who you are. Because by its very definition, fulfilling meaningful work is aligned with who you are. And if you don't know who you are, you can't figure out what's aligned. And the unfortunate reality is, when you stay in one place for so long, one role, company, industry for a really long time, you forget who you are. Like, I've seen this. Like, there are women who go through my program and literally they've said, oh my gosh, I forgot this was important to me. Like, women have literally said, I remembered who I am after going through this program. And that's what happens. That's what happens when you're in a role where you're going through the motions, you're just going through the day by day, you're just flowing, you know, like you're not really being intentional. You forget who you are. You forget what is important to you. And so there's a new version of you that exists, but you don't know her. And until you learn to know her, you won't figure out what kind of work she will enjoy. So those first three steps are really focused on getting to know yourself again, because unfortunately, staying in that one space for so long has caused you to forget yourself. So you have to relearn yourself. And then that information that you've learned gives you a framework, gives you the parameters for figuring out, what kind of work do I want to do? So the last step, the way you now start your, actually, this is the second to last step. I'll give you the last one. But second to last step is, then you start doing your research. What other roles are out there? Based on what I know, what other jobs are out there that will align with the skills I want to use, the interest that I figured out I want to learn more about, and what industries align with my values? And so researching careers, that's also a skill set that needs to be taught. I teach my clients this because it's a specific way to look at job descriptions, to do research without getting caught up in, can I apply to this job? Because unfortunately, you have to look at job descriptions to do your research. But what will happen without guidance is you start thinking about applying, but you're not in that phase yet. We're not job searching. We're not applying. We're researching to figure out what you want to pivot and do. And so you have to do your research, figure out what is aligned, have clear metrics to evaluate the role. Like I have like clear, boom, 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 boom. If I can check all these boxes, this is going to be aligned for me. In FYFC, it's called your ideal career profile. We build out a document in my program that helps you figure that out. And then once you do that last step, you create a transition plan. That's what I didn't write that in my notes, but as I was talking, I realized that's the last thing we do in the program. But you need a transition plan because you've been here for so long. Like some of you said in the chat, you know, the money is good, the comfort is good, maybe you're afraid. And so you have to really plan out the transition. You can't just jump. You have to consider your finances, your family, the geographic location, the industries, and really plan out what your transition will look like. When will you transition? Are there skills gaps that you need to fill? How will you market yourself? When will you start your job search? Like you literally want to write out what your transition looks like so that everything is laid out before you actually start the pivot. Like the pivot is not just the turn, right? It's the And I'm thinking of like basketball. Yeah, I don't play basketball, so some of this might be wrong. But in my head, I'm thinking, okay, if someone is like bouncing the ball, right? And they need to pivot to go somewhere else. They don't just turn and throw the ball, right? They probably like have skills where they scan, they look to see which of their teammates are free or can they take the shot before they throw the ball. Same thing, that scanning, that bouncing the steps without traveling, that's your planning. You have to do a lot of planning before you actually pivot. Because what I see happen is you're so unhappy at the job that you just wanna pivot to get out of the misery. And that's why you then end up in cycles where you get into a new job, 3 months in, you're unhappy, new job, 6 months in, you're unhappy, new job, 5 months in, you're unhappy. Because you didn't plan out the process. And so you jumped out of a place of desperation, or you jumped, like we call it trauma jumping, where you were being so traumatized. And sometimes this one is really legit. Sometimes you have to pivot for your mental health, and that's perfectly fine. Okay. But sometimes you have to pivot to save yourself mentally. But then after that, you need to then pause and plan out the journey before you actually make the pivot. Okay. So those are the 5 steps. Hope that was helpful for you. I'm going to drink this tea real quick. And then I see some things happening in the chat that I want to address. I see so many people retire after decades in the same position they hate. I can't do that. I want to do what I'm passionate about. Yes. I mean, it really is heartbreaking. And that's why I do the work that I do, because y'all, your career impacts your entire life. Like there's just, if you scroll back to my content on Instagram, you'll see I've been talking about this. When you're doing work that you hate, work that makes you miserable, you experience higher levels of work stress. And the research is clear. When you're doing unaligned work, you gain weight, you lose weight, your skin gets bad, you break out, you can't sleep, you lose your sex drive, you lose your motivation, you feel depressed, you feel anxious, you feel nervous, you are less creative. Like it literally wreaks havoc on your physical and mental health. So I am begging you, like legit, if you have the privilege of choice in your career, like if you have the privilege to actually choose what you do, please don't choose to be miserable. Like don't choose to be miserable. And you might think to yourself, why would I choose to be miserable? If you know something isn't working for you, i.e. your job is not working, and you stay in that job because you're too afraid to try something else, you're choosing to stay in that job, which means you're choosing to remain in a situation that you know is not serving you. Ergo, you are choosing to remain miserable. Please don't do it. Okay. I almost started crying. I'm like, this is why I do the work that I do. Just please don't do it. And then researching and networking, but networking is my challenge. And it is a challenge. And that's why in my program, Find Your Fulfilling Career, the way I teach women to research, they build their network while they're researching. So I have a specific framework that I walk the women through so that by the time they're done in my 8-week program, they've already started building networks, building connections in the industries that they're considering, in the companies that they're considering, in the roles they're considering, because I know networking is so crucial and I guide them through that process. So again, if you are in this space and you're looking for support, check out Find Your Fulfilling Career. If you go to findyourfulfillingcareer.com, you'll find it linked somewhere, like wherever you're listening to this. In Instagram, link in my bio. YouTube, link in the description. Podcast, link in the show notes. But check out FYFC because I walk you through that process. Very helpful. Thank you. Thank God. I'm glad it was helpful. How do we address the fear of starting all over again and taking on entry positions in your new field? Girl, you don't. And I say you don't because you should not be taking an entry position. If you have been working for 7 years, 11 years, 17 years, 18 years, you are not an entry level worker. Okay? So you should not. And we talk about this in my program also. What you need to do is figure out, again, this is where the skills piece comes in. If you can figure out your skills and how your skills transfer to a different situation, it really is all about marketing yourself, for the new role. If you don't know how to market yourself well, you feel like you have to take an entry-level position. But unless you're going into like a field that requires content-specific knowledge or a new degree, so maybe like you had to, so for example, here's what I think of. I'm a counselor. And as a counselor, you have to be licensed to practice counseling. And to be licensed, you need a master's degree in all 50 states in the United States. So let's say you want to pivot to become a counselor, which means you're going to have to go back to school and get a degree and then get licensed. That is a very unique situation where, yes, you might need to do entry level because of what you've chosen to do. But there are very few spaces like that where you're pivoting to where it needs to be entry level. And I say very few because, and I wrote this, if I think of the women I've worked with who have been in one space for years. So one was doing development work. She pivoted into DEI, was not entry level. One was doing law. So she was doing a commercial law. She pivoted into nonprofit, not entry level. The other was a VP of, I think just it was a small entire company, but now she's shifting into director of marketing, so not entry level. The other had been a teacher, education, but also an instructor for years, pivoting into program management, not entry level. Now, this is the last one. So she had been in tax for years. She's pivoting into law school. So now this is that unique situation because she wants to do law, going into law school, that might feel like starting again, but it's going to be all about marketing herself when she's ready for the jobs. So my point is there shouldn't be a fear of starting all over again because you're not starting over again. You have years of experience, years of skills, years of knowledge. You're not starting over again. The key is packaging all that and marketing yourself to still look like an expert in the new space you want to go into. Now, all that being said, one thing I teach the women in my program about is a bridge job. So sometimes you might need to take an interim bridge job before you get where you want to go. And so even in that case, so if you're maybe going one step back, again, really shouldn't be entry level, but let's just, okay, yes, entry maybe, let's go with that. Then it should really be time limited. Like, you know, I'm doing this for 12 months. And I'm only doing it for 12 months because there are specific skills, knowledge, industry jargon that I need to learn. But I'm already, that 12 months is an intentional period of building up my skills and my resume and doing projects that will send me to the next level I want to go into when I'm ready. Okay. Great session. My pleasure. You're welcome. Thank God. Mid-senior level for so long, will the transferable skills be enough to pivot into a senior director role without an MBA? So that's similar to what I just said. And I tell the women I work with this, like, I want a degree to be your plan Z, like a last option. Don't get more debt. Only two women who have gone through my program, FYFC, have gone back to school. One to get an MBA and one to law school. And the one to get an MBA, she was already thinking about it before she joined the program. And the program just really helped solidify that it's what she wanted to do. So, you know, we rolled with that. But I'm a fan. And I say that because women are notorious for thinking the more degrees I have, the more qualified I'm going to be. And that's not the case. So that being said, when you say mid to senior level to senior director role, I can't fully answer that if we're not working together, because it's like, I need to know mid to senior in what industry and then senior to director in what industry. But for the most part, in most cases, yes, you can package your skill set and go in and speak like a senior level person, which will include a plan for how you're going to get caught up on the industry jargon. But also it would include, when you go into your interviews, you have to be speaking the language of the place that you're transitioning to. Like, I remember I spoke to a woman once who, I think she was trying to go from education to, I don't remember what the other thing was. I don't know if it was tech or healthcare. I don't know, because she wasn't a client. It was a brief conversation. But I just remember thinking, okay, you can't go into that interview dropping these acronyms that she was dropping. I knew the acronym because I've been in education for years. Like, I've done elementary school, I've done middle school, I've done university, and now I'm doing graduate level. Like, I've worked across the gamut, right? But you can't go into tech and speak like an educator. They don't understand what you're saying, and you don't sound like an expert. Even if you're not an expert yet, you need to sound like you are somewhat informed in their space when you go into the interview, which means you need to know their language. Do they say KPI? Do they say year on year return sales year on year? Like, whatever, like, what are the words that they use? What are the things that are important to them? And you have to be able to say that in the interview while also talking about how you will fill any industry gaps. And that's what you will then leverage to position yourself as a senior director level person. Okay. And also, some of director level senior is management. And so if you've managed in one space, you can manage in another space, but you need that industry specific knowledge. It's hard to transition when employers only want to hire people with lots of specific experience. Totally correct. And there are some spaces like that. I agree. There's some spaces who some employers want direct experience. And in my experience so far, again, I might be wrong, I'm not on the job search right now, there are not very many. A lot of employers are also looking. Let me not say there are very many. I think it's 50-50. A lot of employers are also, is what I should say, looking for people who are teachable, people who already have the interpersonal skills, people who can come in and hit the ground running. And so that's why, when you can speak as an expert, when you can speak as someone who is able to sort of be self-sufficient and self-motivated to an extent, that's how you position yourself as an expert. And there are ways for you to position your skills as directly relevant, even if you haven't done the work. Like, I can't tell. It's like, I'm trying to think of examples on the fly. But I remember, like, in FYFC, working with a school psychologist who was going into HR, and we literally went through an HR position and went step by step to talk through how her skills are. It was the same skills, just in a different situation. And so, yes, it's hard to transition if you're trying to do this without, I have to be honest, you can't do this without help. If it's not what you already do, if you haven't transitioned multiple times, you have been in your work, in your resume, in your space for so long that sometimes you have tunnel vision. You don't know how to see your skills as bigger than what they are. Like, I'll have women who be like, oh, I just did that. Oh, it comes easy to me. I'm like, just because it came easy to you doesn't mean it comes easy to everybody else. It's still a very valuable skill. And this is how it transitions into multiple other industries. But sometimes you actually do need to work with someone to help you see how that's possible. Okay. So true. I studied the job description and websites to understand how they speak. That language piece is very important when you're interviewing. I answered your question. Awesome. You're welcome. Being teachable is key. Yes. Awesome. Awesome. But yeah, so that is how you find a fulfilling career, or how you pivot after multiple years in one place. Again, if this is the kind of guidance and help that you are looking for in your career right now, I really encourage you to check out my program, Find Your Fulfilling Career, because I have helped multiple women who have been in one space for 16 years, 12 years, 22 years, pivot using this framework that I just walked you through, but obviously a lot more in depth. We work together for 8 weeks, and there are tools and resources and coaching sessions that really guides you to think about your specific situation with the ultimate result of figuring out what you're going to pivot into. You are most welcome. It is my pleasure. I thank God for the knowledge to share with you all. This is Golden. Thanks for your knowledge shared. Thank you for staying, for hanging out, for asking questions. Thank God for the knowledge, for being able to share and articulate with you. My pleasure.
If you've been on one path in your career for years, but you've been unhappy for years, but lack of clarity about what else you could do has kept you stuck in that work situation, I want to invite you to have a conversation with me to see if Find Your Fulfilling Career makes sense for you in your career right now. You can go to apply.findyourfulfillingcareer.com and you can find that link in the description below or in the show notes, apply.findyourfulfillingcareer.com, and just find a 30-minute time slot that works for your schedule for us to have a conversation and see if FYFC is right for you.